You know, today we are delighted that the breath of Christ, that the Holy Spirit is in our church. And today I'm blessed to bring you guys a message that is sort of part two, if I would say, from my last message, which was on waiting, right? And in my time of waiting, I've just been more waiting and finding out that Jesus waited too. And the message in tonight is entitled, Jesus Waits, Lazarus Wakes. And if you guys have your Bibles with you today, I would invite you guys to open to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I'll be reading from verse 1 through 25, which in fact, actually, verse 25, if you guys didn't know this, is actually the theme verse of our Emmanuel Church Youth, Resurrection Youth. And we'll begin. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you. And yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks the day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he's asleep, he will get up and get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus said and found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she said and went to him to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said, if you had been there, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last days. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, Emmanuel Church? Father God, I come before you and I just ask, Lord, that you be with this message tonight, Lord. What you've downloaded into me tonight, Lord God, may I impart to this church, God. Lord, I thank you for your word and the revelation that you have here in this word, that you're not just a God who waits, God, but you're a God who delivers. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you guys to turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is always on time. And in the same breath, say maybe Jason isn't always on time. But Jesus is on time. Brothers and sisters, it's fascinating to me that in this one small little part of the Gospel of John, there are so much to see in terms of revelation or taine that the Romanian word says. And I love that word taine. It's so much more deeper than revelation. But there's just so much revelation in detail in what Christ is trying to tell us. He was trying to send a message. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus received this message that Lazarus was in fact dying, his delay was not a neglect. It was actually intentional. His delay was actually a message. Instead of rushing to Bethany, he stayed there for 2 more days, delaying for a purpose, for a reason. You know, by the time he arrived, Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. He already started to smell. He already started decomposing. Rigor mortis already set in. But here's the thing that you guys have to understand. In Jewish tradition, they believed that the soul still lingered around the body for 3 days. But by waiting 4 days, Jesus left no hope for them to witness a resurrection or any type of healing in that moment. You see, Jesus was able to heal or resurrect 2 people before that. And one was the son on the way to his funeral, and then the other one was a sick daughter on the bed. But it was moments after they died. This was unheard of. They knew that there was no hope left. The 11th hour had already passed. Jesus showed up there where everyone agreed this is too late, because he was trying to show them something bigger. He was trying to show them what his word says here. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. It was normal. It was human for them to doubt. But the purpose was to glorify himself through the fact that they will be witnessing something that they hadn't witnessed yet. We know the end of this story. Lazarus is resurrected, right? We know that. We don't have to go into the detail. And for the sake of time, I'll kind of fast forward to the fact that Lazarus was resurrected. We know that. But the apostles were just so, in a way, confused as to why Jesus would want to go back to Bethany where he wanted to be stoned. And later in this chapter, we see that Jesus wept. And I think, to be honest with you, I don't think Jesus just wept because he loved Lazarus. Of course, his human side, seeing everyone mourning there, he would cry with those who cry, because that's one of his commandments to us. But I do believe that in that time, Jesus saw his disciples and the lack of faith. I think he saw the people around him not believing that he could do it. And at the same time, I think Jesus realized, based on what he said here, and this is where the taina is, this is where the revelation is. It says, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Is there not 12 hours in a day? Well, everyone in that circle there must have been thinking, well, this is the 11th hour, Lord. But our God is a God of miracles in the 12th hour. Amen? Even in the 12th hour. And I think he saw that his 12th hour was approaching. And the disciples didn't realize that. He revealed to them something so detailed and a mystery that they didn't catch right there. And I think he started weeping, realizing that his time with them was short. And this was going to be the last big testament, the last big miracle before his death and resurrection. Martha and Mary both said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. So many times in our life, we would have put God in a position to question him. Lord, if you would have just helped me in that situation, I would have gotten that job offer. Lord, if you would have helped me, I would have gotten that school acceptance letter. Or Lord, had you just helped this situation endure a little longer, maybe my son would have not walked away from the faith. Or maybe this relationship would have not broken up. They expected him to immediately, because they had seen him heal before instantly. And so many times in my life, in your life, maybe you have seen God work in ways just instantly. You pray for something. One of my best friends this week had a very scary moment with one of his sons, and we interceded, and God turned up immediately. But I have another friend who went through another similar situation, and God didn't intervene until the 12th hour and the testing of that time. Every single moment, every single trial that we go through is for a different purpose and a different reason. But we have to trust that God is not just in the first hour, he's also in the 12th hour. Amen? They knew he had power over sickness, guys. They knew that. They saw his miracles, but they had not seen him display a power like this over death. Okay? And it's true in our life. Maybe we've seen God work in this way. Okay, God, I remember you did this for us, and I don't remember how you took me out of this situation, but God, this one is huge. If you don't intervene, God, it's all going to go to waste. But Jesus had already declared that his sickness would not end in death, but it would be for God's glory. So tonight, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that whatever situation you're going through and the circumstance that you might feel, man, I'm up a month, I'm at the ground, I'm at the lowest level, God still churns up in the 12th hour because for his glory, for his children, he will show up. He allowed grief to unfold so that a miracle would be undeniable. Many times I found myself in a state of desperation, in a state of grief, only to realize that a miracle would take me out of that situation. And ultimately, I wouldn't get the reward. I wouldn't get the blessing, but God would be getting the glory and the thanks and the praise. And that's the way God works sometimes, that we don't have to rely on our timing, our nature, our expectation, but on his timing and his anticipation that he would be glorified through our circumstance. Amen? The miracle was a message, guys. Jesus stood before a sealed tomb and commanded, "Lazarus, come forth." This is a man who's been dead and decaying, coming out, walking alive. So many times we think that our situation is gone, is dead, is decayed, it's over. But in that 12th hour, God shows up and says, no, there's no delay. God is never too late. When man says this is too late, God says, I'm right on time. This was more than compassion that Jesus had for Lazarus and for that situation with Mary and Martha. It was a declaration of his authority. And tonight, guys, we remind ourselves that the declaration of authority, it wasn't just relevant 2,000 years ago, but it's here today in Anaheim, as it was then in Bethany. Everyone expected Jesus to come immediately because they had seen him, how he used to react. Lord, can you come and heal my daughter? Lord, can you hear my son? Lord, there's a lame man here. There's a blind man here. But Jesus delayed. Why this time? He wasn't there just to create a moment. He was there to create a miracle. And if Jesus answered our prayers every single time we asked him to, right on the spot, I don't think we would be as grateful. We would get used to it time and time. I mean, to be honest with you, I love miracles. Everyone does. But if we saw them continuously, how thankful would we be? How enthusiastic would we be? How much more time in prayer would we be spending? How much more time in worship and singing and waiting on the Lord? As my last message, we discussed how it says those who wait upon the Lord will rise up like on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow faint. They will walk and not grow weary. So in that same way, he allowed Lazarus to die so that miracles would be revealed in a greater measure, and that they would believe and that their faith would grow. Something like this was required to create a catalyst for the early church to remember, all right, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But they didn't have the faith moving forward for his own resurrection. And they were still anticipating that it was over. It was done. They had lost. But that's not what Jesus tells us here. That's not what Jesus teaches us. Jesus doesn't operate on human timeline. What feels like a delay is actually a divine design. One, for the strengthening of our faith, for the building of our witness, and for the glory of his name. When we say it's too late, God says it's right on time. And I'm so thankful, like I said earlier, that God didn't answer all my prayers when I wanted him to, and that he allowed that season of growth and that season of yearning for his word and getting closer to the Father by intercession and prayer with thanksgiving. You know, I find that when I'm in a season of waiting, I become more thankful. I learn patience. I learn strength. I learn fortitude. I learn to not rely more on my own intuition, but rely more on his divine appointment. So tonight, guys, if your dream, your calling, your relationships, your situation, your finances, your health feels like it's buried, like it's dead, like it's prof, it's like lapamunt, as the Romanians say, I invite you tonight to trust in him, because our God is a God of fourth day miracles. He specializes in that. Sometimes we want to twist God's arm and we want to rush him into an answer. And we try to invite ourselves or arrive somewhere early. And if you guys remember last week, Pastor David's message said, you can arrive somewhere early and ruin God's plan. You can arrive somewhere late and ruin God's plan. I don't want to be late and I don't want to be early. I just want to be right on time. And I think you want that too. So I invite you all to stand and I'll invite the worship team. And in this next prayer, before we go into worship, let us just go before the Lord and ask him, God, am I rushing your time? Align me with your chas, Heavenly Father. Align me with your time. Let me be synchronized with your will and what heaven is calling right now for us to wait and to be patient. You may answer early. You might answer in the 12th hour. But no matter what, I'm still going to stand here on my knees praising you and relying that in your due time, your name will be glorified. Amen.